Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. When the early church became corrupt by departing from the simplicity of the gospel and accepting heathen rites and customs, she lost the spirit and power of God. And in order to control the conscience of the people, she sought the support of the secular power. The result was the papacy, a church that controlled the power of state and employed it to further their own ends, especially for the punishment of heresy. Whenever the church has obtained secular power, she has employed it to punish dissent from her doctrines. Protestant churches have followed in the steps of Rome by forming alliance with worldly powers, have manifested a similar desire to restrict liberty of conscience. An example of this is given in the long-continued persecution of dissenters by the Church of England. During the 16th and 17th centuries, thousands of misconformist ministers were forced to flee from their churches, and many, both of pastors and people, were subjected to fine, imprisonment, torture, and martyrdom. It was apostasy that led the early church to seek the aid of the civil government, and this prepared the way for the development of the papacy, the beast. Said Paul, there shall come a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. So apostasy in the church will prepare the way for the image to the beast. Satan will work with all power and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. His working is plainly revealed by the rapidly increasing darkness, the multitudinous errors, heresies, and delusions of these last days. Not only is Satan leading the world captive, but his deceptions are leavening the professed church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great apostasy will develop into darkness, deep as midnight. To God's people, it will be a night of trial, a night of weeping, a night of persecution for the truth's sake. But out of that night of darkness, God's light will shine.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, most grateful and thankful that once again you've given us a bread of life to breathe freely today. We thank you, Father, as we continue to go forward looking towards you for our direction, that we continue to ask your Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us all the way. We ask for forgiveness of sins, clear minds, and a double apostle, your Holy Spirit, to bring each member of the team here today, and also those that are in radio land. That the end of the program, Father, once again, you be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. If you want to contact us, something on the program you might seem interested in, or you want to give us a comment on what you heard or maybe what you didn't hear, you could give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where you'll find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick. Brother Paul, as some of you might know, but for those who don't know, Brother Paul writes a regular column in The Guardian that appears every Thursday. So we ask you to pay attention to that, because some of the things that he has to say correspond to what we're doing on the program. Also, finally, we've been given a date by ZNS of our next call-in program. It will be tomorrow night. That's the 26th of March, 2007. That's Monday, March 26, 2007, which will be tomorrow night. And the program will run from 8 to 10 p.m. Our topic will be false prophet. How can you tell the difference? Now, if you have any questions that you might want us to answer and want to, maybe don't want to call in, but you could want to give us a little head start, you can give us a call at those numbers, 322-6273, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. One other thing, if you want to email either Brother Renwick, Brother Paul, or myself, Brother Miller, Brother Julian Miller, you can go on our website at www.tpministries.org, where you will find our email addresses. Now, as a regular part of our program, Brother Paul is going to give us an update on those articles that he has read and that might have some spiritual significance to us today. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Some of the things that are coming from the newspaper this week, from the religious section of the Tribune, there's a congressman that is revealing, that is openly revealing that he doesn't believe in God. You know, and this is a strong statement made by this congressman, this U.S. congressman, a Democrat from California. You know, in the book of Psalms, Psalms 14, verse 1 to 7, and Psalms 53, verse 1, David says this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit: "The fool that says in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt, they have done the abominable works, there is none that doeth good. So it is just amazing that we are right on the brink of eternity, and this congressman is saying that he doesn't believe in God. But David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said anyone who says that he doesn't believe in God, or there's no God, he's a fool. And also coming from the same paper of the religious section of the Tribune, they have three comments coming from about homosexuality. One of the comments says, Baptist seminary leader sparks uproar with his "Your baby is gay" article. Also back on the homosexual, one a gay Lutheran pastor appeals to deflocking. They disflocked him. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, the Lutherans are holding up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ in the area of getting rid of those people who does not want to follow the Bible account. They disflocked him, and now he's appealing and saying that he doesn't like what they did. He didn't like how they followed the Bible principles of getting rid of that person who want to be openly gay, who is now admitting that he's living with a same-sex partner. He's in a same-sex relationship with another young man. How be it? And so many women are looking for decent young men today. Another coming from the homosexual area again. In Los Angeles, the Jewish seminary admit its first openly gay student. Can you believe it? Well, we have to believe it, because our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, said that this is how it would be, according to Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, they were drinking and buying and selling and planting and building and knew not, until the fire fell from heaven and destroyed them all, until the flood came and destroyed them all. Even so shall it be in the day when the Son of the Lord shall be revealed. Are we ready, ladies and gentlemen? That now is the time for us to be ready more than ever before.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Once again, we're going to continue our topic on false prophet. Once again, I want to remind our listening audience that we'll have a two-hour live call-in show tomorrow night. That's Monday, March 26th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and the topic will be false prophet. Brother Paul, Brother Henry, Matthew 24 tells us that Jesus will not come until the gospel is preached into all the world. Is it going to the whole world? Is the gospel now going to the whole world?
Yes, it is, Brother George. As a matter of fact, we have a commission to all of God's children coming to the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, where it says, and I saw another angel, and that word angel simply means messenger, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And what is that message? Verse 7 of Revelation 14, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. So here we are, right in the break of eternity. We have a message coming from our servant John, who was given this message by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from his Father, through the Spirit of the angels given it to John. And he said, this is the message to be preached at this particular time, and this everlasting gospel should be preached of the whole world. And this first everlasting gospel was first preached to our foreparents, Adam and Eve, when it simply means that after they had sinned, they didn't go looking for God, but God went looking for them.
Amen. You know, even in the times of the apostles, history tells us that the gospel was indeed going into the whole world, even as it is today. We saw some of the early apostles, like the Apostle Paul and Timothy, where they would go into, you know, far countries, far away from Jerusalem, and in order to take the good news of Jesus Christ into those countries. And history records that they went into places like European countries like Rome, down into Africa and other countries into Asia, and if you look through the historical record, we see that the gospel spread and covered much of the known world at the time. As a matter of fact, when we study Bible prophecy, we see that one of the aspects of Bible prophecy in Revelation, when it speaks of that first horseman, I believe, dressed in white, and he represented, saying that he would conquer, and that represented the purity of the gospel. And it's a deep Bible study, but it just, in a nutshell, it showed that that the purity of Christianity, that pure gospel, untainted, just how Christ brought it into the world, was what initially spread throughout the world and to every mankind, and we see the results of it even today.
This week, as we listened to the talk show by Brother Renrick and Brother Paul, there was a very interesting program. A gentleman talked about the Sabbath is not important anymore. And when he said that, I was wondering if the commandments are not important anymore. So my question to you gentlemen this afternoon is the Sabbath still important? Is the commandment still important?
Yes, Brother Jordan, the Sabbath is still important, as well as all of the Ten Commandments are very important. You know, Jesus spoke about this when he walked among men in Matthew chapter 5, and I hope you have your Bibles, you can turn it there right quick. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, you must not think that he came to destroy the law, which is the Ten Commandments, In verse 18 he says, "And verily till heaven it shall pass, not one jot or one tittle shall lose the law in no wise be passed away." But in verse 19, Jesus made a very interesting comment in answer to this statement that this man made on the radio program on last week. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And that word least simply means they would not be there at all. So here we are, just like Jesus said, it would be just before he come. He gave the warning that no one should teach men that these commandments are not important. And here we are, men will come on the talk shows and make statements without no biblical backing, just making statements right off the top of their head. So, you know, if anyone who's listening, they're not a good Bible student and studying for themselves, will be caught up in these lies that are being shared through the radio airwaves.
Excuse me. You know, when we turn to John chapter 14, Jesus makes it quite clear. And particularly for us that live in the world today, there's a lot of talk about love, and we have a love relationship, or we have a relationship with Christ. But Jesus makes it quite clear in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, speaking to us, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Which commandments is he talking about? He didn't come and write a new set of commandments, ladies and gentlemen. He's referring to those same commandments that existed in heaven before mankind came into the world. The same commandments that he gave to Moses back in the Old Testament days. The same Ten Commandments that were handed down throughout from generation to generation and they still exist with us today. The same commandments is what he's referring to in John chapter 14 and 15. And he says, "Listen, if you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And when we skip down to verse 21, and he says, "And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." So Jesus is making it quite clear, because we all know that he looked down the streams of time, and not only did he prophesy the violence and the pestilence that would be in the world, but he also prophesied that there would be a lot of false prophecy, a lot of a false gospel that would exist in the world right before he came back, and that started even while he was walking the earth. And he's speaking to us today, and he's saying to us that we should take heed of what he's written, what he's given to us in scriptures, and not listen to those that are saying, well, you know, it's a new age and times have changed. No, it's the same gospel that we're given to the apostles. It's the same gospel that applies to us, ladies and gentlemen. And if we love Christ, if we truly love him, then we will take heed to his word and keep his commandments.
And to reinforce what Brother Randy just said, I mean, if you have your Bibles, once again, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 9, this will clarify how important the commandments are back then and how they are important today. Just on Thursday, another two brothers had an argument, and the other brother took the other brother's life, repeating what happened way back in the days of Cain and Abel. They were brothers, and Cain ended up killing Abel. And here we are, the two young brothers. One is now in the morgue, and the next one is being locked up by the police, being supposed to be arraigned before the court sometime this week. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and upon thy frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house, and on thy gates." That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 69. How do we need those things to be speak today to our children and to the world all around?
It's also amazing when we see the prophecy that was given to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And, you know, almost in the middle of that book, the prophecy speaks about the beast power that would arise, and, you know, so much chaos in the world and a lot of false prophecy in the world. But almost in the middle of it, it says in chapter 14 and verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints." And any Christian today would indeed consider themselves saints. We hear it all the time on the radio, where we refer to those who believe in Christ as saints. But, you know, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is saying here is the patience of the saints, even those of us that live in the end time. And it goes on to say, "Here are they that do what?" What do they do? "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ." It's a powerful statement.
Thank you very much. Brother Paul, Brother Henrik, I'm sure that most people know that Turning Point is made up of members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And if they don't know, well, we are. Also, I want to say before I ask my next question that we do not represent the official Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. We do not represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church in any fashion, form, or whatever. We are just members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or we attend the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and based on our interpretation of the Scriptures, that is why we attend the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So the things that we might say here today are based on our study of the Scriptures. One of the things that people accuse us of, and most Seventh-day Adventists of, is that we only preach the Sabbath. That the only thing that Seventh-day Adventists is concerned about is the Sabbath. Brothers, is this true? Is the Seventh-day Adventist only concerned about the Sabbath?
No, Brother George. As a matter of fact, you know, as I was thinking about this question, if you go to our website, that's tpministries.org, you will find a variety of topics we have there on our website. And if we're only concerned about the Sabbath, thinking that the Sabbath alone will get us into the kingdom of God, then everything on our website should be about the Sabbath. But the reason why a lot of Seventh-day Adventists would bring the Sabbath commandment to our friends and our family members and associates that we come in contact with is that we're the only ones that I know of. Maybe the Rastafarian brothers, they also talk a little bit about the Sabbath, and there are other few congregations in the Bahamas that talk about the Sabbath, but the Seventh-day Adventists were the first ones that I know of that were shared through the Bahamas. And for that reason, a lot of people in our church will take the time to tell their friends, hey, have you ever studied this commandment? Like the pastor said in the program last week, I mean, he said that the Sabbath commandment is done away with. I mean, it's not important anymore. But if that is true, then why latch on to the other nine? If all the commandments are done away with, then so be it. That means the Sabbath is no longer binding. But the Sabbath is one of those commandments that most people have taken for granted. And they realize, they think that, without even maybe giving it a second thought, that any day possibly can do. You know, sometimes people make comments and they say, just keep one day holy out of the seven. Well, you know, if that was okay, then God should have very well said to keep any day holy. But he put it for six, remember the 7 day to keep it holy. So all of the commandments go that get like a hand fit into a glove. As a matter of fact, just a few moments ago, I commented about the homosexual issue. Well, homosexuality don't have nothing to do with the Sabbath. I also commented about a congressman who said that he don't believe that there's no God. Now, we know for a fact, lady, there is a God. And soon, very soon, he'd be come to take us home.
I mean, just to briefly comment on what you asked, Brother Julian, that, you know, it's simply not true. I've been a member of this church for a few years now, not as much as you or Brother Paul, but you know, over that course of time, we've gone through pretty much the whole Bible. There's nothing that we have rejected or left out because we don't feel you feel uncomfortable reading a particular part of the Bible. No, we go through the whole Scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. And the church as a whole puts tremendous emphasis on family, on health, on the totality of the Christian lifestyle. So no, we don't just emphasize the Sabbath, but every part of God's word is important. And you know, if there's a need to preach the Sabbath because of a particular reason, but if there's a need to emphasize the Sabbath, or if there's a need to emphasize health, or a need to emphasize family life or whatever, then we'll bring that particular message. We don't leave any one or two things out because we don't feel comfortable about it, but we believe in the Scriptures as a whole.
As a matter of fact, as I think about it, why is it they're mentioning that the Sabbath is no longer important? If it's not important, just leave it alone. I mean, why talk about it? Why bring it up in your discussion? As a matter of fact, it was not even a part of the question that the host was asking the pastor that was on the show. It's just something he brought forward, and he, as quick as he said it, he moved on to something else. That talking about the Sabbath, as far based on his research, that the seven events are completely out of order. But if they're out of order, ladies, I mean, Jesus himself was out of order, because according to Luke 4:16, the Bible said he went in the synagogue every Sabbath day and stood it up and to read. And by all means, all of us said we are following Jesus Christ, so let's follow him. And I'm sure if we follow him, let's err on the side of caution. Let's not err on the side that is not important. Because at the end of the day, if it is important, where would you end up? These are the things we need to think about in this time.
On the same program, the gentleman also talked about the Antichrist. And he talked about the Antichrist taking control of the church if it's not utilized properly. Is this true?
But Julian, a lot of people don't understand that the Antichrist has already been revealed. And a good way to see this for yourself is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are gathering together unto him, that ye be not so shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, but by that letter as from us. For that day of Christ is at hand." Then he said this in verse 3, quoting what Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day should not come, except that we have fallen away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So the Apostle Paul says, the day of Christ will not come. except there be a falling away, from the truth, and that man of sin be revealed. And in verse 4, he tells you who is that man of sin, who opposes it, and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. The Apostle Paul was quite clear. And these are the disciples, he said, do you know of anyone who sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and he's being worshipped as God? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you just do a calculation in your mind, and with the Holy Spirit up, the Spirit will reveal to you who that person is. There's only one person on the face of the earth that fits this description. And this system that this person is in charge of is the one that's responsible for doing a whole lot of stuff in Christianity. As a matter of fact, on another talk show this week, Pastor C.B. Moss, who is right now in a great controversy of what he's going to do with his political career, he's now decided that he's right now halting between two opinions, if he was to ask me, if he should be political or if he should be a pastor. And he made a very interesting comment on that program with Darrell Miller. He said that the Roman Catholic Pope holds two positions. He said the Roman Catholic Pope holds church and state. And he also made the same comment about the Queen of England, that she holds two positions of church and state. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the papacy system that is responsible for setting up Sunday worship. And they said in their writings that if you are a Protestant, and if you go by the Bible and the Bible only, then why is it that you keep Sunday? Sunday is our mark of authority. And here we are today. We got brothers and sisters and pastors doing things and never taking the time to study to see if they're following a thus said the Lord over a thus said man.
You know, there's some very popular theories out there in the world today that, you know, somehow this Antichrist is not revealed, and maybe he's growing up someplace in Europe, and, you know, he's going to take over military establishments and force this particular mark on people. But, you know, that's not what the Bible says. And it's so easy when we see things on television, and, you know, make these fancy movies about it, and people getting rescued, and all these dramatic scenes and the explosions. It makes an impression upon the mind. But when we study God's word, it's contrary to what's being taught out there. And what I find absolutely amazing, because I didn't grow up in the Seventh-day Adventist church. I came out of another church and was led by the Spirit of the Lord into the Seventh-day Adventist church, both myself and my wife. And it was amazing that when we were in those churches, you know, there wasn't a study of Bible prophecy. And if you would ask, you know, certain questions, what we were told by the pastor was pretty much, you know, whatever the popular message of the day was, whatever the most believable message on the TV was. Same thing when it came to the Sabbath. You know, I asked him straight and plain, well, how come we don't teach about the Ten Commandments? How come we don't keep the Sabbath? And the answer was just, okay, well, that was for the Jews. I mean, this is from the head pastor and the assistant pastor. But when we go and start to study God's word and let the Holy Spirit lead, he will lead and guide us into all truth. The Spirit of the Lord says quite plainly in 1 John chapter 2, and it says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. This is back in the time of the Apostle John. And he's saying here, and he goes on to say, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He didn't say that it'll be that this one single Antichrist will be revealed sometime in the year 2008 or 2007, and he's going to come out of Europe and you know, gather all type of military power to him. No, he's saying that. He goes on in verse 19 to say that, speaking of the Antichrist, they went out from us, being the church. That the Antichrist started within the church and went out of the church. And he goes on to say, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What is the Lord saying to us? Especially us that are living in this last days, that we need to be on our guard. We need to search this and study the scriptures for ourselves, for in them we will find truth, and not latch on to these popular theories and movies that will sway our minds away from God's word.
One of the areas I tell our listeners is to study today for themselves under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is Revelation chapter 13. And all of the answers, basically the answer to the question Revelation 13, is found in the chapter itself. In verse 1 of Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horn and upon his crown, the name Blasphemy. And the beast I saw was like to a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave them his power and his seat and his great authority. The dragon is the devil. The Bible says the devil gave them his seat, his power, and his great authority. And today, if you should just study that chapter 2, Revelation 13, asking for the Spirit of the Lord to give you guidance and direction, I'm sure He will give you the answer to the whole chapter, right in Revelation 13, where this beast power is in operation today. And all the world is following this beast power. And Revelation 13, 18 says, this beast power is a man, and his number is 666. And the whole world, just about, ladies and gentlemen, just like the Bible texted, all the world is wandering after the beast and paying him homage. And that beastly system is responsible for Sunday worship today and a whole lot of stuff that are in Christianity, but we can't name right now.
You know, it is so sad, ladies and gentlemen. When we see the things that are taking place in this world, everybody believes that something big is going to happen soon. You know, we see the drumbeats of war, terrorism, unstable economies, and rather than ministers of the gospel being focused and leading people to Christ, if they believe that, you know, so much trouble is on the horizon, why don't we hold a prophecy conference, start to teach the people about Bible prophecy? But instead of that, we see ministers of the gospel jockeying for political power and position, you know, building subdivisions and starting credit card it's just amazing. It's really sad. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of times we as Christians and non-Christians, we just laugh it off, you know. But this isn't something we should laugh off. We need to realize that, you know, time of Christ's coming is near. And if we truly believe that, then what should we be doing? We shouldn't be plotting and scheming and getting ourselves more entangled in the ways of the world, but we should be trying to lead people to Christ. And that's not what we see today. It's very sad.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, 2 hours, 8 to 10 p.m. Same station, Turning Point will have a live call-in show. No commercial free. If any questions that you might want us to answer on the air before the show, 322-6273.
Let us pray. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to speak to the nation and to share from your word. And we ask again, oh Lord, as we always do, that your Holy Spirit would go forth and draw men to you, and that people would see the need for change in their lives and prepare for your coming. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Our telephone contact is 322-6273. Please join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tell your friends. Start calling them for us today. We'll be on tomorrow night live at 8 o'clock on 15:40. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Renrick Boat.
And may God richly bless you. This is Julie Miller.